Let's open our Bibles to prepare for communion in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Just one verse I want to point out to you. There's something we're all supposed to do every time we gather for communion. In 1 Corinthians 11, 26, it says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup," we're supposed to do something. We are supposed to, when we gather together in the name of Christ, and when we hold in our hands these pictures of Christ's body and of his blood, it says in verse 26, you notice what the next thing is? "As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup," that's the celebration of communion, the Lord's Supper, "you proclaim the Lord's death." We are to make a proclamation every time we gather. And that proclamation is what Christ has done in our lives. And so what I thought I would do is just help some of you that maybe have never done that before by turning to chapter 1 of the Gospel by John. And I would like to, just for about a minute and a half, help you put into words what Jesus Christ has done through the cross, through his sacrificial substitutionary death, through the giving of his blood as the atoning sacrifice for our sins. He accomplished everything. And this is what it says in John 1 and verse 12. "But as many as received him." Now, salvation is not what I have done. See, a lot of people get all mixed up. I ask people whether they're saved. You know what they tell me? Everything that they've done. Do you know what's really important? Not what you've done, but who? What Christ has done. See, when Paul describes salvation, he starts out with Christ. He said, "He," that's Jesus, "gave himself," that's his sacrificial death on the cross, "for me." You see the emphasis? It's what Christ did and what Paul had received. So look at 1 John 1:12. "But as many as received him," that's the wondrous work of salvation, "to them he gave the right to become children of God." Now who would those be? To those who believe in his name. Because I'm saved, I am a child of God. Did you know that? That's what you declare tonight. Because I'm saved, because Jesus died in my place, I, just what it says in verse 12, I have the right and I have become a child of God. Okay, let's practice for communion tonight. Because you're saved, you can say, "I am a child of God." Let's say that out loud together. You ready? 1, 2, 3. "I am a child of God." Now there, you're confessing Jesus Christ. Now turn to Romans chapter 8, okay, real quickly. We're going to just do about three or four of these. Turn to Romans 8. There's something else you can declare at communion tonight. It says in Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 2, "A wonderful truth that Jesus Christ has set us free from sin." And Romans 8, 2 tells us, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death." Because I'm saved, I am free from slavery to sin. Now, I could be running a, you know, how to stop smoking, you know, smoking class, or I could be running a how to overcome addiction to fear, or how to overcome addiction to alcohol or drugs class. And I could just tell people, you know, you got to buck up and try harder and stay away from that and everything else. And that would be at the same level of us trying to stop any sin we're bound to. But notice what it says in verse 2. "The Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." Because I am saved, I am free from all slavery to sin. Do you realize tonight there's no sin that can enslave you any longer? Now, there's sins that we can enslave ourselves to because we aren't willing to believe verse 2 that the Spirit of life in Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death. But there's no sin that any longer can enslave me. Because I am saved by Christ's blood, I am free from all slavery to sin. Now that's something that we should be able to say. I'll say the beginning part. I'll say, because Jesus saved me. And then you say, I am free from all slavery to sin. And you know what? You need to think about that. Because if you are secretly enslaved to sins of fear, sins of anxiety, sins of consuming desire for things, sins of pride that you're always hurt when you're not recognized, sins of lust that you have this unsatisfied desire that you just constantly need satisfaction for, those sins don't have to enslave you. Because verse 2 says, I am free through the Spirit of life in Christ from slavery to all sin. Okay? Because of Christ's work on the cross, let's say it together, I am free from slavery to all sin. There's no sin that can enslave you because you're a child of God and you're free from slavery to all sin. Here's another one. Turn to the right to 1 Corinthians 3. And this is our last one for tonight, and we'll do these at many other communions, but I want you to remember this because this is how we're supposed to behave. Remember I said this morning how if you're going to be a representation of Christ, if you're going to be a nurturing parent or disciple maker, if you're going to be a godly father or mother, you have a specific design God has for you. Do you know what constantly should be on our minds? 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16. Look what it says. Do you not know? By the way, Paul brought that up because they were acting like they didn't. Now, we know a lot more than we betray by our actions. And so we need reminders. So Paul reminded the church in Corinth, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Do you understand? It's not this building that's holy when it's empty. It's not holy. It's only sanctified when we're in here. In fact, I was in the back getting ready for the baptismal, and one of the elders walked by and said something about, you know, nice fly fishing waders or something like that, and I said, they're sanctified waders. You know what he said to me? Mine are too. Do you know why? Because they are worn by a saint. You see, we, when we enter a place, we are the temple of God. When we go into any conversation, when we go into any work setting, when we go into any classroom, when we go into any public building that no longer can have, you know, the religion exercised in it, we are the temple of God. We bring the Spirit of God who lives within us. We bring the very holy presence of God wherever we go. So you know what that means? There's some places we should not cause the Spirit of God to have to endure. Did you know it's not whether you like the movies you watch, it's whether the Holy Spirit you're taking with you likes the movies you watch. It's not whether you like the television shows you sit and allow to pour into your mind, it's whether the one who lives inside of you likes it. Did you know when women are expecting children, they just do headstands to only eat the right things and stay away from the wrong things and not breathe secondhand smoke and not, you know, have alcohol so they'll have fetal alcohol syndrome? But you and I constantly have the eternal, living, infinite, almighty God living inside of us, and we're his temple. And so Paul said, don't you know it should alter your behavior that you are the temple of God? Because I'm saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, I am a temple of God. Now, that's something you should say out loud with me, okay? Because you're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, together, I am a temple of God. I hope that tonight, that you realize you're a child of God, that no sin can enslave you except the ones you choose, and it's not pleasing God that you choose them. He has set you free, and that you and I are temples of God. Let's bow together for a word of prayer. With your head bowed, if in any way you have not acted like a child of God, you have not acted like you're free from sin, you have not acted like you're his temple, that's what you're supposed to deal with right now. It's kind of like before they pass out the finger food, you're supposed to wash your hands. Right now, you're supposed to make sure. Before you partake in the Lord's table, the Lord said, make sure that you have clean hands and a pure heart. So let's bow quietly before the Lord. Make sure that you have asked and received his complete cleansing. And then I'll pray for his blessing on our celebration. Father in heaven, I thank you in the name of Jesus that we have forgiveness through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. We have redemption through his blood. We have the deliverance from all sin that enslaved us. We are your temples, and you live within. Thank you for this bread that we hold to remind us that you are the bread of life, that you are the unleavened, sinless bread of life, that you are the one who was pierced through for our sins, and with your stripes we have been healed because you became sin for us. And that makes your name the greatest name of all. Above all names, we worship your name. We breathe it out with awe and adoration and gratefulness. We love you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for letting us partake of this communion with you tonight. In your precious name we pray. Amen.